job, my friend. Thank you so much. Christian Morales right there, my friends. So after a couple weeks in the book of John, through the Holy Week, Palm Sunday and Easter, we're jumping back into Romans where we left off. And we only have a few more weeks actually in the book of Romans, and we'll have completed the entire book. Time goes by quickly, does it not? And I'm still battling a sore throat, and since Easter service, I literally did preach my voice away. I lost my voice for probably a good day or two, and then had a very bad sore throat. So I'm hopeful to get through this message. I can already feel that I'm starting to get scratchy again. So I do get pretty excited when I start preaching about the Word of God, and it's just kind of within me, and the voice is just going to have to maintain and try to be there as best it can. Romans 13 is understood in different ways by different people, different philosophies. Paul's beginning with a topic that has sparked countless debates and countless questions throughout history. How Christians should respond to governing authorities. How should Christians respond to governing authorities? And this seems to come at a good time for us in our own lives. So much political unrest and party divisiveness. This illustration is both challenging as well as deeply insightful. I wore my policeman's chaplain uniform today because it causes a lot of people unrest. It causes a lot of people to, several people today walked up to me and said, with the handcuffs thing, you know, you can, don't put me in, not me, man, right? So, how many people looked at the clerical collar and said, Father, forgive me? There were a couple of those too. So what do you see? Do you see civil law? Or do you see moral law? This teaching comes from a very deeply rooted belief. And see if you would ascribe to it or not. A deep rooted belief that all authority ultimately comes from God. All authority ultimately comes from God. He writes this, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Here, there, and everywhere. And so I'll start here, your government. This is what we're most familiar with, our own government. And Paul's words here, they call Christians to an attitude of respect, an attitude of submission, recognizing that God is sovereign over every government, every leader, listen, already. Not will someday, maybe, will be, is now, already. And these are challenging times, what he's writing to the church in Rome. See, there's Jews and there's Gentiles learning how to worship together. There's Democrats and Republicans learning how to worship together. That's your government. See, there's zealots. You know what a zealot is? Opposing the government, right? Sitting next to a tax collector in Rome, working with the government. Do you recognize that Jesus, in his calling of the disciples, he called a zealot and he called a tax collector. He called Barabbas a zealot, a fighter against the government, and he called Matthew a tax collector working with the Roman government. I can imagine they had some interesting talks around the fire. Jesus, only Jesus, could bring them together. It's respect and submission. That can be a big pill to swallow, especially if you don't like governmental leaders. especially if you don't like those that are zealots and revolutionists against the government. Even more so when the leaders seem corrupt, when the leaders seem unjust. Can you trust God with Haiti? Can you trust God with Cuba? Can you trust God with the Ethiopians, with Israel, Ukraine, Iran, the Congolese? Can you trust God with your own government? God is sovereign, or he is not. God is in control, or he's not. And Paul is not asking believers to blindly follow. He's asking us to recognize that God, in his wisdom, has established order with society. And respecting this order can contribute to peace and to justice. See, when we honor the authority that God has in his infinite wisdom established, we are honoring God's structure. It doesn't mean that we follow blindly, especially if things run contrary to God's laws. It's difficult to legislate morality. It means we live with respect and integrity, to do good, to be the light, to encourage others. See, like a good marriage, there's love and respect. There's surrender and submission. Submit one to another out of reverence for Christ. Submission to authority is not a sign of weakness, but a sign of trust in God's sovereignty. And oftentimes we wrestle against God's sovereignty. God's bringing in a bulldozer, and you're praying against the bulldozer. You don't believe that God has brought in a bulldozer. A trust in the order of the way he has presented things. He is either sovereign or he's not. The scriptures are believable or you walk away from them. God has an overarching plan. He set it up. God is at work fulfilling his plan all around the world. The end is nearer than you think. We recognize the government's role. The scriptures are clear. God's design is to promote good and then even to restrain evil. But not all nations do that. Not all leaders do that. Evil exists. Yet God is still in charge. Satan himself bows a knee to God. That doesn't mean there isn't a Satan. That doesn't mean there isn't evil. It just means God has a plan and he's sovereign over it all. Consequently, verse 2, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so bring judgment upon themselves. See, when I served in the military, it didn't matter who the president was. Republican, Democrat, independent, man, did not matter. I served as someone under authority and submitted to that authority. I believed in the structure and in the hierarchy, believing God is ultimately in command of everything. God is in command of the commanders. And as a police chaplain, it doesn't matter who the chief of police is. I serve a faith-based community. I can remember growing up, the people are always speaking into my life about how I should act. And they still do. Maybe I never grew up. Maybe that's the thing. My parents, hey, be kind. Say thank you. My teachers, you know, sharing is caring, you know. Say you're sorry. Say you're sorry. Okay. Even my drill instructor, get down and give me 20. Somebody's always telling me what to do. My friends, you need to rebel against authority. You don't trust anybody who's over the age of 40. Eventually, you have to grow up. And you have to make your own way and your own path. You have to become in charge of your own decisions. I had to choose how I was going to act. Was I going to be a person with attitude or gratitude? How would I treat people? Would I be offended at everything they said? Or was I allow people to walk out of my life? I get to choose that. How would I respond to criticism? You don't think I get criticism standing up here in front of 200 eyeballs every week? At some point in your Christian walk, see, you die to yourself. At some point, I had to realize I just died to myself. I had to surrender my choices because it wasn't about what I thought. It wasn't about my opinion. It was a matter of what the Word of God said. And I stand and trust in the Word of God more than I trust in my own brain. Forget about what your opinions are. I trust the Word of God. Stand on that Word of God. I had to learn some things like, hey, if you want to have a friend, you're going to need to be a friend. And if you want to get some respect, then you're going to have to learn how to show some respect. And if you want to lead the pack, you're going to have to first learn how to follow. See, when we live in alignment with God and God's principles, we begin to reflect integrity and honesty and a commitment to the well-being of people, the well-being of your community. We honor God and shine His light in a way that can often be very confusing to a very dark and evil world. We are soldiers of the cross under authority. We are under God's grace. We are under God's mercy. We are under biblical authority. Do you see that? Do you believe that? And do you walk in that? Do you live a life under biblical authority? Respect, submission, integrity, honesty. See, the Lord demands that I have a healthy view of the government and the governmental authorities that are over me, regardless of which land I live in. The scripture doesn't change if I take it out of America and I bring it over to the Ukraine. The scripture doesn't change if I take it out of America and bring it over to Afghanistan and Iran and the Middle East. We have a very Western Hemisphere mindset because you're privileged. Because you're privileged. We're most familiar with the Republic of America, not so much with communism, not so much with monarchy rule. No more kings! We said that 200 some odd years ago. Socialism, fascism, Nazism. No, we're familiar with the Republic of America. Protesting the government in Iran cost people their lives. But somehow you have the right to assemble. Protesting and speaking against the ruling family in Cuba would land you in jail. Yet somehow you have the freedom of speech. We're very privileged in the U.S. to walk in freedoms. Freedom of speech and freedom of religion, and freedom of the press, and freedom to assemble, freedom to bear arms, freedom to vote, privacy from unnecessary search and seizures, and fair legal procedures. These are just the Bill of Rights. The Founding Fathers had established this American Republic. They had a certain philosophy about governing that was very different than any other thing that had ever been founded on the place of on the earth, and it was called self-governing. Self-governing, by the people, for the people. That's your vote. And they establish things like freedom of religion. Do you believe in the freedom of religion? Do you believe in the freedom to assemble? Do you believe in the freedom of speech? These are all within the Bill of Rights that you're practicing right now. Right now, as you sit here in this church, assembled, listening to someone speak freely, uninhibited. That's the American Republic. A right not granted to many people around the world. Indeed, privileged, blessed, honored. Do you believe in this one? I got that next slide. See, it's a freedom of religion, not a freedom from religion, right? The freedom of speech. Listen, disagree with you in what you're saying. I can disagree with what you're saying, but I would fight for the right for you to say it. We kind of catch that. So I would disagree with you, but I would die for your right to be able to say it. So let me ask you a question. You disagree with me, or are you willing to die for my right to say it? And if you're not, you do not understand constitutional authority. You understand monarchy. You understand it's your way or no way. It's either your way or I hate you. See, that's a practicing monarchy. You know, there's even a Christian nationalism. Christian nationalism violates the rights of others' religions. Nazism violates the rights of others in their religion. Sharia law violates the rights of others in their religions and their freedoms to worship as they choose. That's a freedom that we've been given here that many in the world do not know. But what happens? What happens when the government seems to, you know, contradict or collide with God's commands? This is always the debate. And there'll always be a debate. What happens when their religion is not your religion? Oh, there it goes again, government oppressing faith. Oh, there it goes again, government trying to promote a certain faith. Both are wrong. Both are inaccurate. So, I love to share this story. Maybe some of you heard it before. But many years ago, right here in this municipality of Lake Clark Shores, we established an invocation that would be prayed over in the assembly. So the town council meets and they discuss all the things that are going to go on in the town and the council and the taxes and the, you know, zoning and all the stuff that goes on in a town, right? And so before the meeting, I made this plan. So you guys are doing it wrong. You need an invocation. See, right on the Florida flag, it says, "In God we trust," but you never invite him here. And so they met. They met for months. We're debating. And they decided, yes, we want an invocation to happen at our meetings. And so they started having invocations. And we invited other community ministers to come. Hey, there's a Baptist guy. Hey, there's an Alliance guy. Hey, there's a Catholic guy. Come on. Be part of the invocation. Say a prayer before the meeting starts. And so somehow that makes the news or that makes a paper or something. And sure enough, the town hall gets a call from a Satanist. I want to be in on the rotation for when there's an invocation. I want to pray to my God. Well, you can imagine that was an uproar, right? Councilman, there ain't no way I'm going to let that happen. Well, if somebody comes here and does that, I'm just going to turn my back. I'm not even, you know what? The day he's scheduled, I'm not even coming. I will not be a part. So they call me. We're in distress. They don't know what to do. What are we supposed to do, chap? How are we supposed to handle this? Well, first of all, aren't you a councilman in the state of Florida for one of its municipalities? Yes. Did you not swear that you would uphold the Constitution within your municipality? Yes. constitutional right is a freedom of religion. Do you believe in the freedom of religion? Yes. Well, why are you, because they don't believe like you? Is that what it is? Because you disagree with them. Is that it? So what are we supposed to do? Well, here's what I told them to do. I said, tell them to come. Tell them to come. What's he going to pray? Hail, great Beelzebub, may demons rise against the government with lies and deception and twist and fabricate all of the things that they do. May darkness rule. May this world go to rot. I mean, what's he going to pray? Let him pray. And then just have me come after. Just have me come after, right? And I could pray in the name above all names, the one who holds the keys of Hades, to the resurrected living God of all created being, all praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, in the name of the resurrected and alive Jesus Christ. Just let me pray after. Don't even worry about it. Give him his rights. He has rights. Let him have his rights. So they called him up. Yeah, man, come on. We'll schedule you for May. Oh, no, they weren't interested. They weren't interested. They weren't interested in making a point about Satan. They were interested in making a point about governmental process. The suppression of his rights. It was a test. It really was just a test. That came right after this great victory that we had about bringing invocation into the municipality, that God would be in the forefront and we would pray over all our proceedings. Here comes the agitation. Here comes the enemy. Here comes the wants to stir it all up and make it all about not God and not Jesus. Make it about something else. It really just makes me kind of wonder, you know, who do you serve? And as a Christian, how are you being tested? And what are Christians supposed to do? So there's a few things that I'll kind of want to go over. You'll have to decide what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. One, here's you're just absent. You abstain. You're just an absent voice. You know this one. We just abstain. In no way should you be involved with the government. That means things like just getting off the grid. Anybody ever want to get off the grid? Man, have I wanted to get off the grid countless times. Just get off the grid, man. Right? Not employed by the government. Don't want to be involved with the government. No military involvement. I'll be a conscientious objector based on my own religious beliefs. I do not believe in police authority. In fact, we should defund the police. We should defund the military as well. We don't vote. Don't pay taxes. You don't recognize the authority of the government, kind of like the Seminoles, or the Muckasuki, or the Mashantuckets, or the Pequots, or the Mohegans, or the Apaches, or the Herons, or the Cherokee. I don't even recognize the authority of your own government. You separate yourself completely from the ruling authority. I don't even know if that's biblical. Completely engaged, disengaged from the world. Well, how are you going to complete the Great Commission that says go into all the world? And I'll say this, if you have an absent voice in the American Republic, please remain absent from the political conversations. If you don't step up to serve when it's your time for jury duty, or you don't pay your taxes, or you don't vote, you can stay off the grid. Decline participation. Completely disengage. You've done nothing to support it. You've done nothing to improve it. So you've removed yourself from it. So remain off the grid. To abstain is to make the decision to remain silent. So please, remain silent. Imagine a country so great, even the people that hate it won't leave. It's here. That's how great we are. That's how awesome we are. Then you have split authority, right? Split authority, that's your next one. The state has authorities in areas of your life, and the church has authority in other areas of your life. The republic provides safety of the nation to the military and the Coast Guard and the Air Force and the National Guard and the police and the fire. You pay taxes for all of these things. And the church speaks into humanity. It speaks into character. It speaks into moral conflict. Oftentimes, this is why you tithe and you give offerings, because you want these things in your community. Just like you pay taxes, I want my fire department, my police department, I want my roads, I want my military. This is why you pay taxes. You pay your offerings and your tithes because I want somebody behind that pulpit preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. How can I support that? Here's your tithes and offerings. The republic passes laws of social uniformity, civil equality. Make sure you wear your seatbelts or you will be fined. No drinking and driving. Subject to imprisonment, right? No stealing, murder, you'll go to jail. The church teaches, it preaches abstinence and moderation. No adultery. It preaches integrity and honesty and honor. These are the things that are sacred, not civil, sacred. To those people that are supposed to be governing themselves. There's a dual role. We hear separation of church and state. Yes, separation of church and state. Split roles, not at odds, in cooperation. In cooperation. Perhaps if we gave out more Bibles in schools, we wouldn't have to give them out in prison. You can get a Bible for free in prison. You can't get one in school. Still, federal organizations. There's always tension points. And there'll always be tension points as they're supposed to be. I think God has ordained it this way. After all, He's put everything up and set it up. There's the government promoting a state religion, putting up the Ten Commandments. Is it the Ten Commandments that's a problem, or is it where they've come from that's a problem? Do you disagree with what they say, or do you disagree from where they come from? There's always going to be tensions. The definition of life. The government will differ than the church. The definition of marriage. Is it a legal contract or is it a spiritual covenant? Are you signing contracts or are you making vows? See, you know you live in a republic and not a democracy, because the majority does not always win. That's how you know you live in a republic, not a democracy. Because the minority also hold the same constitutional rights that you do. There are physical and spiritual tensions all the time, and they will not end. Yet I know the scripture is clear. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels, I don't know how you rebel, complain, gripe, protest, whatever it is, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so bring judgment upon themselves. So, church, don't worry about what political policies are in place. God is ultimately in charge. Can I get an amen? See, you don't like the president? Just wait a few years. That'll change. And you can dislike the next one too. And then you're going to have to assume responsibility. Here's your third one. You have to assume responsibility. Work to make things better. Get involved. support a political candidate, vote, volunteer, run for election, do your jury duty, vote, pay your taxes. My cousin is a House of Representative of the 10th District in Western Pennsylvania. He's active and involved in making a difference. He fights for the farmer and the teachers and small business owners. He doesn't complain, and he is not complacent. He's involved. I encourage your involvement with the right attitude. Hate has no place. Understanding the rights of all. I've been asked several times to run for council here in this municipality. Considered it, but I recognize how best I serve my community. That is a minister of God. I walk the line. Civil law, moral law. Civil law, moral law. Constitutional authority, the majority wins. Don't forget those that are hungry and in need. Yes, yes. You serve the civil law, serve the moral, yes. Walk that fine line. And it's a line we can all walk, and we all should be walking. I know I speak best about the kingdom of God, not about the kingdoms of men. I know that I've been here in this community 17 years, and things have changed. Things have changed, man. Morality has changed. The laws have even changed. Administration has changed. The one thing that has remained, I keep preaching the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay there. Land there. Understand what God is doing within you. That you can have an impact. That you will have an impact. I know the church's role very clearly. How do you serve? How will you serve? I'm very specific. I'm a police chaplain. I am not a fire chaplain. I'm a police chaplain. I am not a hospital chaplain. I am a police chaplain. I am not a hospice chaplain. I am a police chaplain. I am not a prison chaplain. I am a police chaplain. Know your role and how God will utilize you to have the most impact. And relax. Relax. We're crying out loud. Relax. God's in charge. God's in charge. God has said it very clearly that he oversees all of these authorities. He's established them and he's placed them in order, and he has a plan that will come to pass. I desire God's will to come to pass. How about you? I know a couple things. Well, how's that phrase go? There's nothing certain in this life but death and taxes. Death and taxes, right? I am under biblical authority. Are you under biblical authority? If you're going to live as a follower of Christ, you're under biblical authority. I'm under biblical authority to pay my taxes. I'm under biblical authority when it comes to my death. Thank you, Jesus, that you indeed are the supreme commander, that you are in control, and I have freedoms to serve and to speak your name. Amen to that. We're very privileged to live where we live. Paul goes right from politics in this kind of stressful situation, and those that are gathering within the temples and the churches and the synagogues, where they have varying, differing political views and varying. It really is kind of like almost an America. It's a melting pot of everything and everyone. And how are we going to get along? Well, if our focus is right, we get along just fine. When we start focusing on the things of the world, we've become out of focus. And he goes right from politics to love. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others fulfills the law. How is your next one? It's your debt. Your debt. Jesus paid a debt he did not owe, because we owed a debt we could not pay. Jesus paid it all. And if I had my voice, I would sing that. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all. He paid the ultimate price. He took our debt upon himself. So here's the question. Are we now indebted to him? Are we now indebted to God? How should we pay that? Listen, if you're in financial debt, you work hard. You work diligently to try to pay off that debt. If you're in spiritual indebtedness to God, this is where all that work stuff starts to come in. We start to work to feel like we have to pay it off. But God, in his infinite wisdom, once again, in his supernatural theology, if you would, God has freed us from the debt that we owe him. We owe no debt to God. Jesus paid all of that. You are free. But he places any debt that you feel and believe that you might owe. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love someone else. He places all that you would owe to him and says, no, not to me, to them. When you've done it to the least of these, to the ones that are tired and hungry and in prison and lost, to them, you don't owe me a thing, but would you? Hold this continuing debt, feeling, and apply it to them? And why does he call it a continuing debt? This continuing debt that's never paid in full? Jesus paid it all. Why do I have this continuing debt now? But I have no continuing debt to God. I have a continuing debt to people, to love people. And we can never fully repay it. It's a continuing debt that will always be there. Every day is a new opportunity to show kindness, to extend grace, to offer encouragement, to pay it forward, to love them, to dog them, to pray with them, to encourage them, heal them, feed them, clothe them, to care for them, to respect them, even if they voted for the other guy. Pray for those that have been placed in charge of world affairs. Love fulfills the law. I owe Jesus everything. How about you? See, he took my infirmities, he took my shame, he took my pain, he took my debt, he took my guilt, he took my despair, he took my darkness, he took my sin, he took my burdens. Anything like that with you, church? Perhaps, maybe, he did something like that for you. Took my sadness, took my afflictions, took my anxiousness, took my anguish, took my political concerns, took my worry, took my anxiety. He took it all and he covered it in the blood of Jesus Christ and said, I'm sovereign, I am your God, I am in charge, relax and have a great day. Don't worry about the government that you're under. Love your neighbor. You are free. You owe nothing to me, but pay it to them. Pay it to them. And then those commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other commandment there is, it's all summed up in one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. As I have helped you, help them. Love them. Show them. Teach them. I placed you in this world at this time. Please don't abstain. And folks, I can't strategize enough. I can't give enough. I can't sing loud enough. I can't preach long enough. I can't read enough. I can't study enough. I can't write enough. I can't pray enough. I can't praise God enough. I can't do anything enough that would bring God more pleasure than loving people. Please God? Want to please God? Love people. Want to follow God? Mimic God? Love people. And what credit is it to you, by the way, that you love only those that love you? The pagans do that. Love these people. Love them. They're troubled and heavy burdened. Love them. They're lost. Love them. They voted for the other guy. Love them. They're walking in darkness and confusion. Love them. They're hurting. They're wounded. They don't understand. They're scarred. They're living in a fallen world surrounded by fallen people. Love them. They're wandering away from God. Love them. They're opinionated and self-centered. Love them because they're just like you. As I have loved you, love them. Tell the people to connect with me. Tell the people that I will care for them. I have seen what love can do, and I have seen what hatred can do. The word of God says you owe a debt of love. You owe a debt of love, not of judgment. You owe a debt of love, not of condemnation. You owe a debt of love, not of disapproval. You owe a debt of love, not criticism. Here's your next slide. See, I think good Christians make good citizens. And that's relatively easy here in America and a republic. It's very difficult in China. Very difficult in Ethiopia. It's very difficult in Sharia law states and countries. But good Christians would make for good citizens regardless of the governmental oppressor and overseer. In the time of this writing, persecutions are very high. And what he's writing to these people, they're literally dying for their faith. And he's saying to them, respect, submit, and honor those that God has placed in charge. It will bring peace to you to do so. And do this, understanding the present time, the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when it first began. Wake up. You cannot do this without him. You need the Holy Spirit of God. You can't love these people the way that he can love them. You must yield yourself, surrender yourself, die to self, and let that Holy Spirit of God that dwells within you love them. Minister to them. Teach them. Wake up. Walk in his ways. Wake up. Shine his light into the darkness. Wake up. Sing for joy and praise his name. Wake up. Worship him while he's still a living, while you still can be a living sacrifice. Wake up. Live the life of love. Be the love that the world is so desperately lacking and needing. Where can you go that God is not? There you are, Holy Spirit of God, person of God, filled with the power of God. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of your own flesh. Wake up and get dressed. Here, put on some clothes. Here's your last one. Put on your clothes. Put on some clothes. Wake up and get dressed. Put on the robe of righteousness. Put on the garment of praise. Toss out those filthy rags of selfishness. Put on the full armor of God and pray. How about pray? How about posting a prayer? Instead of posting how awful your president is, how about posting a prayer for the president? Instead of posting about how bad the economy is, how about offering them a prayer for the economy? Instead of posting how awful the cops are, how about posting a prayer for the cops? That God might move into their lives. That God might transform their hearts. That there might be a prayer of thanksgiving that comes out of you instead of hate and bitterness and resentment and judgment. We cannot do this without Jesus. We need you, God, to work within us. Our love and our focus must be bigger than American politics, must be bigger than global politics. After all, God is in control. or he's not. Which are you going to walk? What are you going to believe? What are you going to portray? What's going to come out of your heart? I feel my body's weak. The spirit is willing, but man, the body can be weak at times, man. My flesh is impatient. I go to the grocery store. It takes me 5 minutes to find what I want. I go stand in line for 20 minutes. No, I walk out. I'm impatient. I get it. Greedy, lustful, prideful, opinionated, critical. Listen, and that's me. That's Chaplin. That's honesty. That's probably you too. Lord, I need you to have your way with me. That's your next slide. That can be your prayer. God, I need you to have your way with me. God's will be done in you on this earth as it is in heaven. Sometimes I know I feel like I can't do this because this is one crazy world where evil exists and evil thrives on every corner of the world, in every society, and in every heart. And it's going to be a constant debate. It's going to be a constant battle. And you're going to need to plant your feet on a solid rock upon which you can stand. I want to live and love like the Lord wants me to live and love. Let's make that our prayer. Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, I thank you so very much for the opportunity to be here, to assemble freely, to practice freely our religion and freedom of speech. And Father, just thank you that we are here where we are. And Father, I don't want to take that for granted. In fact, I want to pray for those that do not understand or do not know the freedoms that we exist and that we have. And so, Father, I pray that you might continue to do your good works within each and every one of us. And Father, help each and every one of us in those times when the flesh comes out and we struggle hard. And Father, that in this place, this day, you would be honored and our voices would align with the scriptures, that we would live a life under biblical authority, regardless of where we are around the world. Father, that we would be submissive to you and all that you have to say. Come work within us. Challenge us, change us, transform us. Give us new ideas. Give us insightfulness. And Father, rip out bitterness. Rip out criticism. And Father, give us the eyes to see as you would see, the love that you would have for people, the debt that we would owe to you. May we pay forward to others, to those that do not yet know you. Continue to do good works within us, Father, that the glory of God may be seen in us and through us. We come before you with thanksgiving and praise in the name of your Son. Amen.